I do want to read the scripture for us today. Today's scripture passage is Mark 6, 6 through 13. So if you'd like to read along with me, I gave them the wrong passage earlier this couple weeks ago. So we're going to take it from verse 6, so if you'd follow along. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. I don't know about you, but I am an overpacker. I always pack too much for a trip. I don't know why, but I think I'll get a stomach ache three times. I'll take Pepto-Bismol. I'll take allergy pills, never having allergies before. I'll take a swimsuit to a cold place. I overpack. Many of you might be like me. The thought of someone packing the day of a trip, like someone whom I'm very close with, concerns me. I get anxiety, it throws off my equilibrium, and I become anxious for their bag, for if they'll forget their shoes or socks or tie or something. It makes me anxious when I can't overpack. I think some of you have seen the big bag that I carry. I like to call it a bag. Some would say suitcase. In it are 80,000 pins, pins of every color and design. If that's not ridiculous enough, there's another little bag full of lipstick, chapstick, lip balm, lip gloss, any kind, all of the same color, because I can't seem to deviate. But here Jesus tells the disciples to take nothing with them. He's just faced rejection in his hometown. In fact, he's been rejected four times since he's called the disciples. His family thought he was out of his mind. The experts thought he was in cahoots with evil. People by the lake asked him to leave, and then his hometown kept him going. But Jesus' message was important. Much like the message that Carol shares on the streets of Lincoln, the kingdom of God has come near. The time is to repent, to follow Christ, to find new life. And Jesus tells them to take nothing. I don't know about you, but none of our modern-day missions organizations will send you if you don't have funding. They certainly won't send you if you don't have a good idea of where you should go or training. But here Jesus tells them not to take money. Don't take food. Don't worry about it. Just take your sandals. Don't take extra clothes. Don't overpack. Because time is of the essence. It's important to get going, to keep going. He sends them out two by two so that their testimony could be true. He reminds them to rely on hospitality. David Garland says, "To go on mission entirely dependent on the generosity of others for food and lodging is an expression of extreme poverty. They don't travel first class. They don't come like an invading army living off the land. Instead, the 12 come humbly. They must be totally dependent on God for their support. They take a staff, maybe to symbolize what God has already done through the life of Moses." This morning, I want to share one more story with you of Cameron Townsend. Cameron Townsend was 21 years old, and when his peers went off to fight in World War I, he went to Guatemala. He went to sell Spanish Bibles. Unlike Carol's ministry, his Bibles were not free, 99. They cost something. But as he journeyed around Guatemala trying to sell Bibles, he realized no one spoke Spanish. It wasn't a common language. Yes, the English or the Spanish-born people spoke clearly, and they looked down on the native people of Guatemala, those that spoke the Mayan dialects. And he became frustrated. He was angry that he would be sent to Guatemala, that he'd give his life and his time only to realize that the language was wrong and the wires were crossed. He met the Cachacao people, and for 10 years, they asked him, "Does God speak our language? Does God know us? Does God only care about the Spanish and English speakers?" And for 10 years, Cameron Townsend decided he'd learn that language. He'd make the alphabet. And he was the first to translate the Bible into the Cachacao language. He helped start Camp Wyclef, and when I was in Guatemala, I had the opportunity to stand in that camp, to see people translating scripture for the first time in the native languages, to see the smile on faces of God's word being shared. Just like the Judsons, just like Cameron Townsend and like Carol and our churches and our other ministers, the Parks family, those who we've sent and who we've supported, and those out still on the mission field, God invites us to rely on the hospitality of strangers. God invites us to be people that are hospitable, people that care. And when you go and when people don't take your message, don't sit and argue. Don't subtweet them or post online. Keep it moving. Shake off the dust. Come back later. God is still at work. The challenge in this scripture for me is to not take anything, to not overpack, to not take my big suitcase downtown, waddling around, but instead to rely on the Spirit. To know that the Spirit has been at work already, that the Spirit is working and invites us to participate, and that the Spirit will move in mysterious ways. Because the ministry of Jesus Christ, the story of his life, his birth, his ministry, his death, his resurrection means something. It changes lives in every language and in every moment, because Christ lives. Jesus still uses fishermen, tax collectors, and even women. He uses the unlikely and the counted out to testify and give witness. We share what God has done in our lives. God can send us to Guatemala, to Thailand, or even downstairs to our neighbors. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have the Roman road memorized or take a special course. But you can share what God has done in your life, who God is to you, and who God says you are: valued, loved, worthwhile, a child of God. So go, knowing that the Holy Spirit is with you, that the Holy Spirit moves and breathes, and that you are invited to be a participant. That even if you haven't been in a while, even if you're a little doubtful or confused or frustrated, God is with you. God is working in your life and inviting you to share that hope with other people. One of my favorite saints, Teresa de Avila, she says this: "Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on your earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks compassion into the world. Yours are the feet in which Christ walks to do good work. Yours are the hands in which Christ blesses the world." You've received the good news. Go out and share that Christ has come. Christ has defeated death. Christ will come again, and Christ lives. Hear the good news. Don't overpack. Travel light and know that God is with you, even if it might be to a different country or right down the street. Amen.